Morning once again. This morning we have the privilege of having David and Melissa Price with us. Their children, Karis and Ian, are also with us. They're heading downstairs for Kids Club right now. But they have been in France for about 15 years, a little over 15 years. And we've been supporting them since the very beginning of that. And actually, we used to support Mr. David's parents, Roger and Loni. And so many of you may remember them. We supported them for many, many years, a long time ago. So we've had close connections with this family for a very long time. Sarah and I enjoyed our time with the Prices last night. I know that as you hear about their ministry this morning, I know you're going to be encouraged and challenged to continue to pray for the people of France. It's a very difficult place to go and to reach people with the gospel, as we know from hearing from the Richardsons. And we thank you guys very much for your faithful service to the Lord there in France all these years. And church, I hope that you're encouraged this morning. So at this time, we're going to show a video, and then they're going to come and share with us.
France, often associated with its history, art, and culture, is a country in desperate need of the gospel. France has a rich and complex history deeply intertwined with religion. Historically, Roman Catholicism has played a significant role in shaping the country's religious and cultural identity. In the early centuries, Gaul, the region that would later become France, was gradually Christianized through the efforts of missionaries. During the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church held immense power and influence over the population. France became known as the eldest daughter of the Catholic Church due to its strong ties to Catholicism. This period witnessed the construction of magnificent cathedrals such as Notre Dame de Paris and the cathedral in Chartres. These cathedrals still stand as symbols of medieval Christianity. However, in the 16th century, the Protestant Reformation swept across Europe, challenging the authority of the Catholic Church. France experienced internal religious conflicts with tensions between Catholics and Protestants, such as the religious wars between 1562 and 1598. Eventually, the Edict of Nantes in 1598 granted limited religious tolerance to Protestants. In the 18th century, the Age of Enlightenment brought intellectual and philosophical movements that questioned traditional religious beliefs and institutions. This era marked the rise of secularism, which gained momentum during the French Revolution in the late 18th century. The revolution aimed to establish a secular society and the suppression of religious influence. In the 19th century, France experienced a resurgence of Catholicism, with the church regaining some influence and establishing a close relationship with the state. However, secularism remained a powerful force, particularly in politics and public life. In more recent times, France has become a secular state with a diverse religious landscape. While Catholicism remains the largest religious affiliation, the country has also seen the growth of other religious communities, including Protestantism, Judaism, and Islam. In addition to spiritual challenges faced by the native French population, France is home to a significant immigrant population, many of whom come from Muslim-majority countries. These individuals often face various socio-cultural barriers and can struggle to find acceptance and integration within French society. It is crucial to recognize the unique opportunity and responsibility we have to reach out to these immigrant communities with a life-transforming message of the gospel. Being born in France and having lived as a child in France, I witnessed firsthand the spiritual hunger and emptiness that pervaded the lives of many. A life-changing moment occurred when I was 4 years old, when my mother guided me to accept the Lord. During our family devotions, my father had been teaching about heaven and hell. That night, as my mother tucked me into bed, she asked if I understood what my father had explained. It was then that my mother shared with me the significance of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. That very night, I received Christ as my Savior. I lived in France until the age of 9, when my family decided to return to America due to my mother's health issues. After several challenging years, my father felt led to start a church in Louisiana. My teenage years were mostly spent in Louisiana, where I underwent significant personal growth. During my time in college, I had the pleasure of meeting my future wife the summer before my freshman year. In August of 2000, we were married. One of the most memorable summers during my college years was spent serving alongside Melissa's father in his church in the Bronx. This experience solidified my calling to the ministry, while my call to France became evident during my time in seminary. After Melissa graduated, I completed my undergraduate degree and proceeded to pursue further studies in seminary.
My father served as a pastor in Philadelphia for over a decade, and when I was 12, our family relocated to New York City. In the Bronx, my father planted a new church where I actively participated in various church activities, such as teaching, cleaning, and playing the piano during services. Growing up, my parents instilled in me a strong sense of right and wrong. Despite being considered a good girl, I understood that simply being morally upright wasn't enough to secure my place in heaven. In April 1985, at the age of 6, during an invitation in junior church, I made the decision to accept Christ into my life. Following high school, I pursued a college education with a major in Bible studies. Throughout my time in college, I enrolled in various mission-oriented classes that opened my eyes to the urgent need for spreading the gospel worldwide. It was during this period that the Lord burdened my heart with a desire to reach out to the lost. God has graciously provided me with the opportunity to serve Him in France alongside Dave and Sangonas. It has been a blessing to witness the growth of the church and the salvation of souls.
Since June 2008, the Lord has allowed us to serve Him in southern France, where we helped plant a church in the city of Saint-Gaudens. God has allowed us to be involved in many different aspects of the ministry, both in France and Africa, where we are engaged in spreading the gospel and nurturing believers in their faith. In France, our ministry encompasses a wide range of endeavors, beginning with church planting. We are dedicated to establishing vibrant churches, providing a place of worship and spiritual nourishment for the people of France. As a conference speaker, I have the privilege of sharing God's Word, inspiring and equipping believers to grow in their faith. Through these gatherings, believers are encouraged to boldly live out their Christian convictions. I am extremely blessed by God in that I also serve as a Bible college professor, investing in the next generation of Christian leaders. It is a joy to guide and mentor students, equipping them with solid biblical foundation and practical ministry skills. Our ministry extends to the younger generation as well. We actively engage with children through Bible clubs, where we teach them the principles of the gospel and nurture their spiritual growth. We also have a small but exciting youth group, providing a place for teenagers of the church to develop their faith and navigate the challenges they face. Evangelism and outreach form a crucial part of our ministry in France. We engage in various initiatives to reach out to the lost, sharing the message of hope and redemption found in Jesus Christ. One notable outreach opportunity is our involvement in the Tour de France, where we connect with spectators and volunteers, offering them the love of Christ. In addition to our work in France, we are actively involved in ministry in Africa, particularly in Togo and Ivory Coast. In these African nations, I have served as a Bible college professor, training and equipping future leaders of the church. It is a privilege to empower these students with sound theological education and practical ministry skills to impact their communities for Christ. I also have the opportunity to speak at conferences in Africa, sharing God's Word and encouraging believers in their faith. These gatherings provide a platform for fellowship, discipleship, and renewed commitment to the gospel. Through our ministry efforts in both France and Africa, we strive to make a lasting impact, nurturing believers, equipping leaders, and reaching the lost with a transformative message of Jesus Christ. It is our earnest desire to see lives transformed, communities impacted, and God's kingdom advanced in these regions. As we look to the future, please pray that the Lord would enable us to reach certain goals, such as training ministry leaders for the church in Saint-Gaudens, which could open the door for a daughter church plant ministry. Also preparing new classes for Bible colleges in France and Africa, and continuing to grow the ministry in Sanguinas to maturity. Together, we can bring hope to the hopeless, light to the darkness, and witness the nation of France experience a spiritual awakening. We want to express our heartfelt gratitude to each one of you who have faithfully stood with us through the years. Thank you for your faithful prayers and support in this vital work. May God bless you abundantly.
Good morning. Bonjour. Vous allez bien? Très bien. On va parler français ce matin, je crois. No, okay, I guess not. I said that we're going to speak French this morning. I guess not. Okay. It's really good to be here with you this morning. Brother James said, this church has a long relationship with my family. For as long as I can remember, we have talked about and heard about in my family, Johnston's Chapel. And y'all have been a blessing to myself and my family for a long, long time. I think your church has supported a price for the last 50 years. So that's a long time. So the Lord is good. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your prayers. Believe me, we would not be able to be here and we would not be able to accomplish what the Lord has called us to do there in France without you here praying for us. Your prayers are more important than any other thing, but also thank you for your financial giving. We wouldn't be able to stay on the field without your help there also. So we are tremendously blessed. Let me give you a couple of details about the ministry a little bit more. We have a couple minutes, and then we'll get into a message this morning. Pray with us as for the church this summer. I have one of my students. You saw him in the one of the pictures in the video presentation, but you didn't realize who he was. He's taking over for the 2 months that we're here in the States. Pray for him that this would be a good experience for him and also the church. And pray that maybe some doors would open where we can maybe bring him our way or another one of the students from the Bible College to help grow the ministry there in Sanguinas. We're excited about what the Lord is allowing us to do. We've been blessed here recently where we've had to expand the auditorium. That's always a good problem, where we have to renovate and put more seating in the auditorium. So we're excited about that. When the last weekend before we left, I finally finished putting in the molding around the trim work around the auditorium with some of the men of the church. So this is all fresh, new electricity, new paint. So we left on good terms. Everything's ready to go for the summer. Hopefully still standing by the time we get back. There's a lot of kids. I don't know if you noticed. There's as many kids as there are adults oftentimes. So hopefully the walls will still be standing with the kids running around. But that's also a blessing. Pray for us this as soon as we get back. The first weekend we are back in August. We will have a couple baptisms. These young ladies have grown up in the church, been saved through the ministry, and we're looking forward to that also. And so the Lord has given us all kinds of opportunities to serve Him in reaching the lost, whether it's at the Tour de France, whether it's regular soul winning outreach on a weekly basis, a monthly basis for church wide outreach, whether it's teaching in the Bible College in France or in Africa. The Lord has opened many doors for us. And I don't want to give the wrong impression. We are a small work. It's small and it's slow, but God is good. When I look out and I see 40, 50, 60 people there in front of me on a Sunday morning, I can almost every single one of them, 80, 90% of the people say, I know where that person got saved. I know with who that person got saved. I know when they trusted the Lord as Savior, because it was all through the ministry, the local church ministry there. This isn't people getting mad with another church and coming to our church. There is no other local church. There is us and that's it. And so we praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing there. We are in a unique situation where There is no other really gospel preaching church in our area, and we are able to be that standard bearer and to project the light there in our region. So pray with us that the Lord would continue to allow us to do so. On the way out, make sure, I don't know when my kids will get back up here, but I'm going to station them by the two columns, okay, on the way out here. You will make them happy, extremely happy, if you come by and say hello to them, and maybe even say bonjour, and they'll go, oh, they speak French, and then grab a prayer card from them, and then put this up. If you're anything like me, the place I most frequent in my house is the refrigerator. Stick it on your refrigerator. That way you're reminded to pray 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 11, 12 times a day. I'm not saying anything. We're all in the same boat. So that way you can be reminded to pray for us and pray that God would continue to work in the lives of the French people. We're excited about what God is doing. And you are a vital part of that. So we thank you for everything that you do. This morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 45. If I start rambling in French, I am sorry. This is the first time I'm preaching in English in 5.5 years. So I may have a few difficulties this morning. We may have to go back to Acts chapter 2. May have to have a translator real quick up here with me. We'll do our best. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22. I borrowed this Bible from my dad this week, and I opened it up this morning. I have to do this number to see it, and it's not good. I guess for some of us, we are getting old, even though y'all may remember me as a little kid running around here, and y'all come and seen us in Louisiana. Isaiah 45, verse 22, so I'm doing something I do not normally do, is use my cell phone to be able to see what I'm looking at. Isaiah 45, verse 22, the Bible says this, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Again, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us understand what you have for us here in this passage. I pray that it would be an encouragement and that it would motivate us to go out and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what it has done for me and for my family over the years. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the greatest questions that can be asked is this. What is mankind's greatest need? What is man's greatest need? If humanity could answer that question, I believe that the world would be a very different place. And in fact, I don't know if you have used ChatGPT. I asked ChatGPT this question: what is mankind's greatest question, greatest need? And this is the response that it gave me. This artificial intelligence. This is what it said: Mankind's greatest need is subjective and can vary depending on individual perspective. However, some commonly mentioned needs include peace, love, understanding, empathy, and sustainable development. It ultimately boils down to creating a harmonious and compassionate world where people can thrive physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Not bad, I thought. But the sad thing is humanity is searching in all the wrong places to find the answers to those needs. Humanity is looking to itself and what it can provide itself to answer those basic needs. Sadly, they're looking in all the wrong places. But God's Word gives us the answer to man's greatest needs. In fact, if you look at what it said, mankind needs peace, understanding, love, empathy, sustainable development. Listen to what the Bible says about peace. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace that mankind is searching is found in God's Word, in God. When we look at mankind is looking for love, what is the one verse that comes to mind that jumps out at us when we talk about God's love? John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When man says, I need to be understood, and we look at society and we say, yes, mankind is crying out to be understood. We look at the social networks and the social media, and you're saying, and we see mankind searching to be understood and accepted for who he is. And guess what? The Bible gives us the answer for that also. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. God knows every single one of us in all of its details, and all of our ins and outs and nuances. We talk about empathy. Oh, I wish people could understand what I'm going through. Listen to what the Bible gives us in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his child, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He can understand. He can empathize with who we are. You know, mankind's greatest need is not these questions that it is searching for. The Bible gives us a different perspective on man's greatest need. The Bible describes man's greatest need as a personal relationship and his personal salvation and reconciliation with God. And believe me, if we are reconciled with God and personally saved through faith in Jesus Christ, empathy, peace, love comes with that salvation. God gives that to each and every single one of us freely and in abundance. And though man looks everywhere to find these answers, he is unwilling to look to the one who is the author of the one remedy that he is seeking. God's desire is that all would find the answer to their greatest need, Jesus Christ. God desires that all men, all humankind, would come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in reading Isaiah 45, verse 22, we come to an understanding that even in the fact that we have this great need, and God has given us this answer for our greatest need, He oftentimes has to encourage us and even commands us to come to Him. Remember what the Bible says in Isaiah 45. What is the first phrase that we see here? Look unto me and be ye saved. Look unto me. Look unto me. This is a command that God has given. And in fact, if it is given by God Himself, that means it is a reality that can happen. We can be saved. We can find the answer. When we look at society, when I look at what's happening in France, I see a world that is afloat in an ocean that we don't know where we're going. But when we come to a faith in Jesus Christ, we have that port, that harbor that we are going toward. We have that lighthouse that is shining out, and we're aiming for that. And it is that salvation. It is a command given by God, and it is a reality. It is something that we can truly experience. If God didn't really mean it, He wouldn't command it. Be ye saved. Have you been saved today? This is the message that we proclaim in France, in Africa, in Ivory Coast, in Togo, wherever we go. Come and trust Christ. Come and know Him who loves you with a love that is so deep and profound that you can never fathom the depths of that love. A command to look to Him. It's not a command to come to a church, even though this church has been such a blessing to us for so many years. Coming to this church will not save you. Coming and listening to Brother James preach or Brother Nofsinger preach will not save you. Not a man can save you. Only the man Jesus Christ, God Himself, can save. It is not a church, it is not a denomination, it's not our church in our little town of Saint-Gaudens, Église Biblique Baptiste du Commerce. It is not a church movement, it is the message of salvation that saves. You know, the Bible talks about we must look to who? We must look to the one who was crucified on that cross. John chapter 12, verse 32 talks about if Christ be lifted up, He will draw all men to Him. We need to look to Him. Well, we find also in Isaiah 45, not only this command given by God to look unto me, but we also find a blessing that is offered. A blessing is offered, and be ye saved. I like, I don't know, you all have children, do you not? Or you have grandkids, or you have adopted kids from the church. And what is the best way sometimes to get your kid to obey real quick? If you do this, I will do this for you. There's positive reinforcement, and there is negative reinforcement, if you understand what I'm meaning. This is positive reinforcement. This is God saying, hey, if you come and if you obey my voice and you come to me, look unto me, you will be saved. If you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I will give you this blessing. You will be saved from eternal condemnation. If the command is obeyed, then a blessing is received, the blessing of salvation. I have a dog in France, and I'm going to miss my dog. We're here for 2 months. Her name is Bella. And when we first got her, she is an English setter, pure breed. Very, very nice dog. But very, very, let's say, hyperactive. What is that? ADHD? On steroids. I mean, she was all over the place as a puppy. But I promise you this, if I wanted her to sit, and now today I can say, I just click my finger and she, and I do this and sits down. Lay down. Roll over. Stay. And I walk around. I put a treat on the floor. You know how I did that? Give her a treat. Every time she obeyed, give her a treat. God is not giving us a temporary treat here. He's giving us eternal life. He's giving something that will last for eternity. And you know, when the Bible describes salvation, it describes it as a two-way direction. We're saved from and saved to or towards something. We're saved, first off, from sin and death. Romans 6:23, Ezekiel 18:4. We don't have time to look at these, but we understand that we are saved from the wages of sin, which is death. We're saved from this eternal condemnation. We're saved from that, but we're saved to something. We're saved to this eternal life, to this new life, this abundant life in Jesus Christ. There is nothing better than living this life with Jesus here and now. You know, we oftentimes think we are waiting to live this eternal life once we die. No, that's wrong. We are living eternal life right now. This eternal life begins now with Jesus Christ if we have placed our faith and trust in Christ. And it is an amazing life. Have you tasted how good that life is? Have you come to see what God is offering you? We also notice here in Isaiah, not only this command, look unto me, but this blessing that is offered, and be ye saved. all the ends of the earth. It is not limited to an American people. It's not limited to a French people. It's not limited to a European or an African. It is for all to come and trust Christ. But we also see an ultimatum that is presented. There is none other. For I am God and there is none other. I was sitting in a meeting with some local religious leaders in the area and where we live. And we were going around the table and they were asking, give a brief testimony of how you knew God. And I shared, John, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And without even thinking, I said, you know, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. There is, you know, I understood that there is no other way of getting to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. And immediately somebody raised their hand and said, oh, no, we don't want to be exclusive. Maybe God revealed Himself otherwise in a different means elsewhere. And I was sitting there going, whoa, no. Mankind does not like ultimatums, does he? God says, my way or there is no other way. Come and believe as the Bible teaches. Apart from God and Christ, sinful man is helpless. And God comes and presents to us through the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that we see 3 days later after His death at Easter. God presents us the means by which we can be saved from our sin. And this helplessness that we have as mankind, as humanity, we find and we understand that we are not helpless. We are helpless, but we're not hopeless. We have a hope when we can see Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, not Jesus Christ buried, but Jesus Christ sitting victoriously at the right hand of God, where we understand, yes, He died for our sin. Yes, He was buried for our sin, but He rose again victorious over death and grave and paid for my sin. We have hope in Jesus Christ. You know, science may prolong physical life and give us all kinds of luxuries. I don't know if you can tell, but I am stopped up and I have a cold. Air conditioning on the plane just really killed me this time around. But you know what? They sell little boxes with little pills in them, and you can function with them. And that's a luxury. That's great. I can be standing up and about to die, but I feel good for a while. Science helps, but it's only temporary. Education makes it more interesting. Reading books, you have a library back here. Guys, read. Education is a wonderful thing, but it's only temporary. Philosophy may even give some answers to some of life's questions and moral questions also. But the only thing that can make any real change is the Christian faith. The Christian faith only can cause a transformation of life and character. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We have become a new creation in Jesus Christ. This ultimatum is found throughout all of Scripture. And again, time doesn't allow us, but we look at Psalm 127 verse 1, Matthew 18 verse 3, Luke 13 verse 3, John 3 verse 3. Always confronted with this reality, what God says, and there is no other way. You know what? I'd rather side on the side of what God has said. To be sure of where I am going. Many people do not like to receive an ultimatum. If you don't do that, you'll get it. I don't like hearing that. You know my first response when somebody says, don't do that? Watch me just do it. That's not what we want. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, the most important word here in this verse is the word must. There is no other name whereby we must be saved. There's no other option. Come and trust Him. When we read Isaiah 45, verse 22, that same verse was preached a long time ago on a snowy day in England, where a young man was heading to church, was not able to get to his church, and turned into a small street, Artillery Street Primitive Methodist Chapel, where a layman was preaching that day, and he used Isaiah 45, verse 22. And this lay pastor read the verse several times and looked at the man, the young man, and said, "Young man, you look utterly miserable, and you will be so until you look to Jesus." That day, Charles Spurgeon looked until he could have looked his eyes away and was saved. In hearing the gospel in Isaiah 45, verse 22, Spurgeon trusted Christ as Savior. Maybe today you didn't plan on coming to this church, but you turned to the side and you came here. Maybe you're utterly miserable and you don't have the answers to your life, for your life and your life's questions. But Jesus is the answer. I'm going to read you this verse one last time. The Bible says this: "Look unto me and be ye saved." You want life's answers? There it is. "Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Matthew 27, verse 36, talks about those who sat around and watched as Christ was crucified. We do not need to be sitting around watching Christ being crucified as just bystanders. We need to be implicated and accepted personally. Come, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and be ye saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the many blessings that you give to us. Father, thank you for all that you do. You're a great God. Father, if there is one who does not know you this morning as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that you would work in their hearts today, that they may find, that they would find the answer that they are searching for. Peace, love, empathy, understanding. Father, thank you. We praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I pray that your heart has been challenged and encouraged this morning. And if you're here this morning, as Mr. David said, if you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior, if you have never looked to Him and Him alone for salvation, Pastor Jim and myself are down here, encourage you to come speak with us. If you'd like to speak with one of us after the service, we'll be happy to talk with you. But don't leave today without having determined that in your heart, that you have looked to Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation. And as we've heard this morning, I encourage you to continue to pray for Mr. David and Miss Melissa. Pray for the church plant there. Continue to pray as they minister, as they serve, as they seek to see leaders raised up from within the church to continue the ministry. Continue to pray for the conferences that they have opportunity to serve in and the Bible school that he gets to teach at. And pray for them as they go to Togo and the Ivory Coast for the conferences and opportunities to teach. I encourage you to remember that. And as you guys leave this morning, I encourage you to take a moment in the back to stop and to talk with them, to express your appreciation and let them know that we continue to stand behind you guys. We continue to pray for you. We love you all, and we're very, very thankful for your desire to go and to share the gospel with the people of France. Let's have a word of prayer, and after I pray, the praise band will lead us in a time of prayer. And as I said, if the Lord's working your heart in any way this morning, I encourage you to come speak with Pastor Jim or myself. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, if you are working in the heart of someone's life today, I pray that they would be willing to get out of their seat to come and speak with Pastor Jim, with myself, with someone else who can show them from your word how they can be saved. Lord, for those of us who have looked to you and have been saved, Lord, may we be challenged by the example of Mr. David and Miss Melissa to continue to proclaim the gospel here where we are at, with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with the community around us, Lord. So many people with so much need, Lord, with a need to know you, to be forgiven of their sins and have a relationship with you. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.